Welcome to Carrituals. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, how to give feedback for a presentation, chapter 2, what to say, part 2.
The questions that this cast answers are, how do I answer the question, how did I do after a presentation? What are the important things to keep in mind when given presentation feedback? And how can I structure my feedback to be both supportive and constructive?
If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
If your resolution this year was to save money, and let's face it, whose wasn't? Manager Tools can help. All new licensees receive discounts of as much as $150 off of select products and training. And that's not all. All new licenses come with a 30-day free trial to start. Grow your skills, expand your network, and save money with Manager Tools. Learn more by visiting us online today at manager-tools.com/licenses.
Okay, Amanda, last week we talked about identifying the purpose of a presentation and actually giving feedback that people can change. So on their behavior, not the conclusions that you drew. And we left everybody with homework to practice seeing people in presentations and thinking of what behaviors they're seeing. So hopefully everybody's got that. And now we're going to think about after this presentation, when somebody said, how did I do? Or can you give me some feedback? You will probably have a very long list because we are taught to look for the things that are flaws. We're taught to look for the mistakes and we don't want to tell them every single thing. We want to tell them, A, only the things that affected the purpose of the presentation, so affected whether or not they achieved their purpose, and B, the most important things, because as we've said before, people are nervous about presenting. And if you give them a whole long list of all of the mistakes they made, they can't fix all of them at once and it will just ding their confidence. So you want to start with the biggest thing. So if somebody never makes eye contact and they just read their notes, you would start there, not with the fact that you also can't hear them and they didn't make much sense because they hadn't structured their presentation well. You just start at the beginning.
So first, we're going to talk about how to select your feedback. So unless you're providing feedback for an incredibly important presentation, moment-by-moment feedback on every detail is not necessary or even helpful. When the president practices the State of the Union address, his speechwriters, PR consultants, and speech coaches tweak every word, change the cadence of specific sentences, and insert specific gestures at specific points. And you are not giving the State of a Union address. So you don't need to give moment by moment exactly what they're doing wrong or right, but it's not helpful. So your presentations, I mean, are important, but you don't have the whole team behind you, or the person that you're giving the information to doesn't have a whole team behind them doing all these things for them.
Most people aren't videoing it and keeping it for posterity either. It's a moment thing. Most presentations aren't that important in the grand scheme of things. So if you compare them to the State of the Union address, or most presentations we give on a weekly basis are not that big a deal. So going to that level of detail for even average presenters will just confuse them. Next time they present, they're going to be thinking about all of the things that you said and not what they're saying or what the audience is doing in front of them or what their purpose is. And so it's going to make them a worse presenter. So instead of trying to provide some comprehensive review and prove that you are a good person, a person who can really look at the details in a presentation, choose one or two highlights or lowlights to give feedback about, and you will be much more helpful than if you give them a whole list.
So consider giving feedback about any behavior that specifically detracts from the achievement of the purpose. We've said it before. If that behavior takes away from the purpose, impacts the reason that they're giving the presentation, that is something that you would want to give feedback on.
Or any behavior that specifically enhances their ability to achieve the purpose. So if they had particularly good slides and that was really persuasive, or they had a very good answer to a question, or they had handouts that were really good, or there was some part in their presentation that was really persuasive, All of those things are things that you could use to give feedback about.
Any behavior you know that they're working on, if it's something that they've talked about before that they're trying to improve, give them information about that, because that's probably what they're more asking about, of like, how did I do? If they've talked about it, they're like, did you notice? Is it getting better? Is it not? Right? But think about what they've done in the past or they're trying to work on, because that might be specifically what they're asking about.
Any behavior that would enhance their presentation style that you believe is in within reach. So again, if you've got a brand new presenter, someone who's only presented once or twice, you can't tell them about speech variety and vocal tone and body language and everything all at once, because you just confuse them. So think about the level at which they're at and choose something that's within reach, you know, a stretch goal, as it were, but not 10 of those things, and only one that will help them achieve their purpose.
Mm-hmm. And you can give specific feedback on the content, structure, and flow of the presentation itself, kind of the beginning, middle, and end. Did that help to the purpose? Did that add to the purpose of it? And that's something that they would be able to make adjustments to.
So once you've got this list of things you could give feedback about, consider again whether the presenter achieved their purpose. Because if they achieved their purpose, the feedback should be mainly positive. If you think about, you know, 90% of what they did obviously worked, or 99% of what they did obviously worked because they achieved their purpose. Therefore, the feedback should be 90% or 99% positive. Only if they didn't achieve their purpose and you believe the substance or the manner of the presentation contributed to that, should the focus be on the improvements that could be made. So if they did an okay presentation, but they didn't achieve their purpose, and you think it's because the CEO sent a message last week that said, after they'd done their presentation, that said, we're not spending any money on anything for the next 3 months, and they were trying to put a case for spending money because it had happened sort of in between, then it wasn't that they gave an average presentation. It was there were outside forces that meant that they didn't achieve their purpose. So if you're going to give feedback, it's got to be about something that really they did that meant that they didn't get what they wanted.
And remember, most people are terrified of presenting and terrible at it. For most people, it's not an easy thing to do, or that they're not doing it frequently enough to be experts at it. So our standards are high because we see professionals presenting on TV every night. But again, the average professional does not need to be that good to achieve their purpose.
And it's interesting, if you watch interviews rather than scripted news, People are a lot more ums and ahs and thinking about their words, and they don't make as much sense. Their thoughts are not as structured. So even the professionals are not good when they're doing it off the cuff. So if you want to look at somebody presenting badly, like look at a Q&A session on a newsreader and remember. The other thing I've noticed is people will ask a question and they'll get the answer, and the next question will be completely unrelated, as if they didn't hear the answer, because they've just got a list of questions and they're not able to ad lib in the moment.
Yeah.
So even the people we think are good are not that good.
By now, you're probably back at work after the holiday break. So what's your plan for getting your folks trained this year? Our effective manager, effective communicator, and effective hiring manager are made extremely affordable for organizations, and we'll work with a group of up to 30 to 35 people at a time. If you're considering any training in the first half of 2025, now is the time to reach out and get on our calendar. If the economy ramps up as expected, we may have longer than normal wait times to get to you, so start the conversation soon. Email Maggie at customerservice@manager-tools.com to start the conversation today.
Now we're actually going to give some feedback. We're going to follow the Manager Tools peer feedback model.
The peer feedback model is designed for giving feedback to peers, just like it says. If you're familiar with the Manager Tools feedback model, it omits the question in step one, asking if they're open to feedback. That's because we're not going to ask them to change it or continue it. It also eliminates step four, because we haven't the influence to require them to change. Think of the shared insight versus the guidance.
So now we're only left with two steps: state the behavior and describe the impact. So you're going to start by identifying the behavior that we've noticed. And if you start with "when you," it forces you sentence-wise almost always to describe a behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You could get away with "when you look confident," but I find starting those sentences with "when you," like "when you stand at the front of the room and are still so that you command the attention of the audience," then whatever. I find always starting with "when you" helps me get into that behavioral groove.
Mm-hmm. And it keeps it shorter because you already have the words to say. So you're not trying to find them and, dare I say, pile on because you don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Now, after you state the behavior, you're going to describe the impact. That's the second step of this model. Follow their behavior with a description of the results of their behavior. And it's simple. And it sounds like, here's what happens, and then you fill in the blank. However, again, you don't need to pile it on. One or two impacts are enough. They'll definitely get the picture. So again, keep it more concise, specific. The more words you add to this, the more it gets lost.
Yes. And the worst, just think about somebody going on and on to you when you've already got the point about what you did wrong. Just frustrating. So when it comes to presentations, it could sound like, when you make eye contact with everyone and smile as you go through the plan, here's what happens. People lean forward and jump in with questions. And your enthusiasm really gets them fired up about joining in.
Another example. When you provide summary slides with key numbers, here's what happens. I can actually see the light bulbs going on when people see them. Once they can see the figures laid out like that, they're sold.
When you keep weaving in people's suggestions as you present, here's what happens. They perk right up and start taking notes because it makes them feel like it's their project too. And that really helps you get buy-in.
When you handle all the Zoom stuff without missing a beat, here's what happens. We completely forget about the technology and can really focus on your message.
Why are you laughing?
Because I feel like you're about to give me some peer feedback.
Oh, you think this is a secret message?
I'm like,
that's what I do.
You guys can't see our faces, but I'm like, I probably deserve some feedback right now.
No, we're doing just fine. When you dive straight into question details without connecting back to the big picture, here's what happens. The audience takes fewer notes and the questions become more basic. And maybe that doesn't help you achieve your purpose. If you need the audience to be with you and having buy-in, then having their questions answered and having a back and forth with them is really important. So if you're either diving too deep so that they don't understand how you got there from the big picture, or even if you're being too on the surface, you could lose an audience.
And just some insider information. If you write these out when you give the behavior, here's what happens, give the impact, it helps you deliver it. It really does keep you more concise. It gives you the words that you're going to say, and it really helps hone like the message that you're trying to send, because you're not going to want to write a whole paragraph. You're going to keep it nice, short, and sweet and focused on, you know, the information that you really want to give.
And once you get the hang of this, you can omit the "when you" and "here's what happens" if you want the sentences to sound more natural. But don't let this mean that you lose that structure of behavior impact. And if you have, as I said, if you have trouble staying with behaviors, "when you" really helps to keep you on the straight and narrow.
If you perceive that their response is pretty neutral or certainly negative, simply say, "just thought I'd share your call," or "wouldn't presume to suggest your call." If they seem genuinely interested in help, you can respond with "your call." One thing that might help is note that there's no "but" there.
You did great, but.
Yeah. It's not an open face sandwich. Don't get
it. Exactly. And one final point, the tone of these relaxed peer-to-peer voice, the lack of confrontation, the easiness, the casualness of it, that's the tone you want to have. You're not better than them telling them something, you're sharing an observation that might help them.
Yeah. Let's talk about the pitfalls that you should avoid. Don't repeat the presentation. Summarizing what was said and then interjecting your feelings about each segment is really not helpful feedback. An example would be, you told them that we have a problem in the loading bay with scheduling, and that was good. And then you showed them the diagram, and I think that helped. And then dot, 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 so on.
You're just repeating what they said. 20 minutes.
Yeah. You gave them their presentation back.
What they had, what they said, yeah. In order to give good feedback, you have to be finding positive and negative behaviors that happen more than once during the presentation. Literally, if somebody says once in an hour, you don't need to mention it.
Just let it go.
So if you find yourself telling the story of the presentation, you know you're on the wrong track. So instead of Amanda just said, we might say, your use of diagrams at the beginning and the table with the data were really helpful in helping me understand the context when I was making the decision. So we're sort of pulling together the threads, pulling together those multiple things that you saw and grouping them as categories almost.
Mm-hmm. All right. The next pitfall is don't use the sandwich technique. It's no more appropriate here than anywhere else. Just like I said earlier, there's no buts. It's not an open face sandwich, right? We all know that the feedback sandwich is. It's a way of giving feedback that goes like this. You say something nice, then you say something critical, and then you say something nice again to try to like soften the blow. And it doesn't work because we all know what's coming, and the only thing that people hear are the negative. So you've missed your opportunity for the positive. And like I always say, the middle part of the sandwich should be the best part, not the worst.
That is true.
Right? Like it's a crap sandwich. Nobody wants it. So
yeah.
Don't do it. Don't even add the butt because that just makes it an open face sandwich, right? Give the information.
So there is a podcast called the Event-Based Peer Feedback Model, which you can go and find on the website on managertools.com and then search for it. Event-based feedback is where you have to give more than one piece of feedback, one after the other. And so this is a way of doing that in a way that's more concise. So instead of doing the sandwich, you would order your feedback in a way that makes sense. So for example, you might cover all the comments about content and then style, or all the comments about usability and then technical, or you might go by topic or audience reaction. So like I said, you're just pulling the things together in the same category and talking about those first, whether they're good or bad, and then the next category and so on.
If you have given a lot of negative feedback and you're concerned about the recipient's reaction, you could include the bigger picture, which is more positive, saying things like, I think you're going in the right direction, or I think you're 80% of the way there, and now we're just looking at the smaller details. Being a little bit more nitpicky, but you're basically there.
Yeah, so you want to give them the big picture positive. So something like, you made eye contact with everyone in the audience, which gives me the impression you're communicating with confidence and belief in your point of view. Your hands were shaking when you presented, which makes me think that you're nervous. And then the way you organize the slides, the headings that organize the information, they're very effective in helping me understand the bigger picture. And perhaps you want to make the font more consistent because it's hard to read when it's lots of different sizes. So we group together the feedback about the same things.
Yeah. And just more concise how it probably happened in more of an orderly fashion. And then the last pitfall is don't go long. Specific does not mean long. Giving feedback for 15 minutes is no more helpful than 3 or 4 minutes. In fact, I would say for any case that if you're going to get more information back, everyone would like it shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you have to be in a 15-minute conversation versus a 3 or 4 minute conversation, which one are you going to pick? And just know that your peer is going to pick the shorter one. So one or two examples are enough. And just to drive this point home, again, remember that most people are terrified of presenting and terrible, or I'm going to say not very good at. But don't make them suffer by listening to you being very specific and long, going on your thoughts about it at length.
Because most of us aren't any better presenters than anybody else. So the person getting the feedback could well think, well, who are you to tell me? Well, okay, so the final one is observe your own impact. So we've talked at length in the previous chapter and in this one about the fact that even when you're asked what your opinion is of a presentation, the requester might not be asking for feedback at all. So having decided that the person does want to hear your thoughts, notice what their reaction is as you give it. As long as the person achieves their objective, giving detailed feedback isn't required. So if the feedback isn't received well, it's better to stop and switch to praise than continue.
Yeah. And a person's manager, mentor, or coach has a responsibility to give them feedback, especially when a presentation fails to reach its objectives. As a peer or a direct, it is better to preserve the relationship than to prove that you can give feedback on a presentation. So if you need an out, just hope that their manager is the one giving the feedback. You don't have to feel obligated to do it as a peer or a direct. So think about your relationship.
Giving feedback about someone's presentation is much less about noting the specific failings and much more about the achievement of their objective. And by focusing there on this rather than nitpicking the kind of unconscious behaviors we all have, you'll be more helpful and that feedback will improve your relationship, not detract from it. It's a much more sensitive topic than you might think. It's really easy to watch someone present and have a list of things that they did wrong and want to tell them and tell yourself I'm being helpful. But actually, we have to really consider whether or not it actually is helpful before we tell someone the wisdom that we have. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks, everyone. That's all for this week. Join us next week as we cover a new topic.
Bye.